Three views on the rapture: pre-tribulation, pre-wrath, or post-tribulation. By Stanley N. Gundry, Craig Blazing, Alan Holtberg, and Douglas J. Moo. Zondervan Academic, 2018. 301 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Benjamin J. Montoya. About the authors: Stanley N. Gundry, editor, is Executive Vice President and Editor-in-Chief for the Zondervan Corporation. He has been an influential figure in the Evangelical Theological Society, serving as President of ETS and on its Executive Committee, and is Adjunct Professor of Historical Theology at Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. He is the author of 7 books and has written many articles appearing in popular and academic periodicals. Alan Holtberg is Associate Professor of Bible Exposition and New Testament at Talbot School of Theology. His specialization is in the area of eschatology as it relates to the Old and New Testaments. In addition, Dr. Holtberg holds academic memberships in the Society of Biblical Literature, Institute for Biblical Research, and the Evangelical Theological Society. Craig Blazing is Executive Vice President and Provost and Professor of Theology at the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is author of numerous books and a contributor to Zondervan's Three Views on the Millennium and Beyond, 1999, and Three Views on the Rapture, 2010. Douglas Moo, PhD, University of St. Andrews, is the Blanchard Professor of New Testament at Wheaton College. His work centers on understanding the text of the New Testament and its application today. He has written extensively in several commentary series, including the NIV Application Commentary, Pillar Commentary, Tyndale New Testament Commentary, and the New International Commentary on the New Testament. Introduction. The focus of this book is on the timing of the rapture. The rapture refers to when Christ will return and catch up believers in the sky. None of the contributors of this book debate that there will be a rapture of some kind. They, however, cannot agree on when it will happen. Their question of timing concerns the 7-year period of tribulation. Although none of these contributors ends up swaying the other, such a book remains important to reveal both the complexity of God's Word and the importance of learning from others on this important eschatological topic. Consider our summary to learn these various viewpoints that have surfaced throughout church history. Table of Contents. Introduction by Alan Holtberg. Chapter 1. A Case for the Pre-Tribulation Rapture by Craig Blazing. Chapter 2. A Case for the Pre-Wrath Rapture by Alan Holtberg. Chapter 3. A Case for the Post-Tribulation Rapture by Douglas Moo. Conclusion. A comparison of the author's interpretations of passages in the debate. Summary. Chapter 1. A Case for the Pre-Tribulation Rapture by Craig Blazing. The case for the pre-tribulation view of the rapture is one that is made on the basis of seeing sequential time indicators in the texts related to this topic that lead to the conclusion that the rapture, the sudden catching up of believers, will happen prior to the tribulation period prophesied about in Daniel and described in more detail in the book of Revelation. The beginning of this position is to focus on Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in 4 and 5. Paul writes, "We who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. For this position, Blazing focuses on the steps in the process that he sees Paul laying out. He then goes back to the book of Daniel to highlight the background of this entire teaching, as well as ties in the Olivet Discourse, noting how these sections of scripture are tied together and describe some of the exact same events. Each time, significance is granted to the order of these events. This interpretation also heavily depends on the 70th week of the book of Daniel overlaying as the day of the Lord in the Olivet Discourse. Blazing does consider common objections to his position throughout this chapter, noting where there is silence regarding some important issues related to the question of timing, whereas other pre-tribulationists had proposed more certainty. For example, how Paul is not addressing the timing of the rapture per se, but trying to comfort his readers that the day of the Lord had not happened yet. Blazing recognizes that the teaching of the rapture is nowhere to be found in the book of Revelation. Although he notes its absence, he considers places that it is typically found and points his readers to other sections of Scripture that point to the teaching itself. This is not something that is commonly held by pre-tribulationists, especially since the position is typically argued by dispensationalists. They typically point to places in Revelation where they see it referenced. The position of pre-tribulation rapture is one that people can hold whilst also still holding views other than classic dispensationalism. It may be thought that these views were twins or sort, but this is not the case. Interpreters can very well hold to other positions and still argue for pre-tribulation rapture. The goal of this chapter is to encourage its readers to pursue the scriptures further to grow in Christ as they study this topic. Although the subsequent chapters will present different views, all the authors can agree on this topic. As a side note, this chapter, as well as the others, contains responses from the other contributors, as well as a rejoinder from the author of this chapter. Although occasionally they point out agreement in some arguments, most of it contains reassertions of their own positions. As such, this summary will not include many details from these sections, although some of it has been incorporated throughout. Chapter 2, A Case for the Pre-Wrath Rapture by Alan Holtberg. This chapter proposes that the rapture will occur before God's wrath is poured out onto the earth, but that believers will go through the difficult times mentioned in the books of Daniel, through the first half of the 70th week, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Revelation. This author sees a consistent picture of the position on the timing of the rapture from all sections of Scripture, whereas the previous position noted that at some parts of Scripture highlighted this teaching more than others. For example, how the previous position claimed that Revelation did not speak to the rapture directly, whereas this position claims it does. There are three core tenets to this position. 1. The warnings presented in Matthew's version of the Olivet Discourse were directed to Jesus' disciples as the church, since Matthew views the disciples and how he aims his teaching material in his gospel to the church, since Israel is fulfilled in Christ. There is an important typological fulfillment that this view recognizes. 2. Paul ties the rapture to the outpouring of Christ's wrath on the nations with the complex set of events said to happen. The rapture is Christ capturing his people up just before the so-called parousia wrath comes on the earth. 3. That John in Revelation presents the same picture of the church being raptured immediately prior to God outpouring his wrath on the earth for the day of the Lord. This author sees John speaking to the rapture when it refers to those who washed their robes white being the church in Christ. As part of unpacking these three core tenets, focus is still prominent on a sequential ordering of events found in Scripture, even sometimes recognizing grammatical markers that seem to speak of the timing of the rapture itself. This chapter focuses heavily on 2 Thessalonians and the timing mentioned there. This section was not given as much attention in the previous position, whereas 1 Thessalonians had been given more. The author points out how some of the so-called grammatical arguments for ordering have gone too far, for example, forcing theological conclusions illegitimately from if-then clauses. Nevertheless, he still sees a sequential ordering of events that Paul lays out the events happening in a certain time-observable order. He cites 2 Thessalonians 2:1-5 as an example. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? The author of this chapter also speaks to his position as consisting of two major theses: that the church will enter the last half of Daniel's 70th week, and that between the rapture of the church and the return of Christ to earth will be a significant period of extraordinary divine wrath. The way that the author of this chapter understands these two theses supposedly rules out the other two positions presented in this book. Interestingly, the other two authors see it differently, even when they acknowledge part of the theses presented in this chapter. This chapter ends with a posture of interpretive humility, recognizing that the other scholars in this book may not agree with all that has been presented in this chapter, but that the author of this chapter still has the highest regard for the other scholars in this book. From reading these chapters, it can seem as though the other scholars were unaware of certain texts. That is not something that any of these authors claim. Yet, how they each put it all together differs considerably. Chapter 3, A Case for a Post-Tribulation Rapture by Douglas Moo. The final perspective is that of post-tribulation rapture. This position brings the pendulum of positions full swing to the other side from where we began. That is, it argues that the rapture will occur after the tribulation, and that the second coming of Christ will be one event, not a two-part event, argued by the other two positions. To maintain this position, one must consider both the Old Testament and New Testament, and how they connect with one another. Then, the relevant text must be considered. Furthermore, the very words and concepts we tie to them require careful consideration, both from how we commonly understand them to how the biblical writers present them. That is, just because we connect a certain meaning to a biblical word does not mean ipso facto that we ought to. This will be important for our consideration of some key terms. As a side note, Moo notes how it is his understanding that the early church fathers also held to this same position. That is an important historical note, given their place in the history of interpretation being so close to the writing of the New Testament. From the perspective of the Old Testament, there is no mention of a rapture. The coming of the end of days is seen as one event. The New Testament presents the New Testament church as receiving the fulfillment of the promises made to the Old Testament people of God. Now, that does not mean God does not have a plan for the nation of Israel. Douglas Moo has argued elsewhere that Romans 9 through 11 reveals such a plan. The New Testament does not even so much as contain the word rapture. That does not present any kind of issue per se, but it does require us to consider out use of the word itself. The word comes from a Latin term that refers to catching up. The New Testament concept that we see, however, is that of believers coming up to be with Christ, not just a generic snatching. The texts concerning the rapture, as we have been covered twice now, and so not repeated in further detail here, do not require any conclusion that believers will be kept away from the period of the tribulation. Furthermore, none of these texts require someone to conclude a specific time before or during the tribulation. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, believers are referred to as experiencing tribulation. So, there is no theological reason to conclude that believers should not expect tribulation in the future. Now, what they can expect to avoid is God's wrath being poured out on unbelievers. The book of Revelation presents a view of the end times consistent with the rest of the Old Testament and New Testament. That is, the second coming of Christ will be one event. There's even no mention made of the rapture in the entire book of Revelation, as noted by other contributors of this book. Instead, there is indicating that God will protect his people from certain judgments during the tribulation, specifically detailing how God's people will be protected while others experience tremendous pain. What then does his chapter do with the theological concept of imminency, that Christ's return could happen at any time? First, we must be careful about how we understand this term. The Bible is clear that we are in the end times as we have been since Christ's ascension. So, the events that are coming could happen at any time. Second, to maintain the belief in the imminent return of Christ is consistent with the post-tribulational view presented in this chapter. Sure, there are events that must happen before Christ's return, but this understanding of the term itself, in English or otherwise, is consistent with scriptural teaching. Scripture does not demand an understanding of a more absolute imminent return without other events needing to occur. For example, Scripture clearly teaches that the gospel will need to be preached to all nations before Christ's return. No one argues against that point in this book, so it is not unreasonable to maintain imminency while also arguing for a set of events to happen before Christ's return. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.